Hey, welcome to the 22nd episode of the Cracker Cast podcast. This is David from MrCracker.com, and I'm recording from a new place today. I'm in Chicago at a university that I just started attending. And so if anyone's in this area, send me an email. Maybe we can get together for some coffee, unless you are a 40-year-old pedophile. Now, that explains why I haven't been recording in a while, so sorry about that, but I'm back into it. And let's get straight into the news. First up, we have Tumwater teen hacker sentenced for crashing Comcast. So this guy at 18 years old hacked Comcast and took down their whole email server for about an hour and a half. And that amount of time being down was estimated to be to cost Comcast about $130,000. Well, he just got sentenced 4 months in federal prison, and right after he turned 21, so happy 21st birthday. I'm trying to drop the soap. Next up, we have Zeus Trojan steals $1 million from UK bank accounts. So this Trojan that's been going around infecting people, thousands of people, has estimated to have stolen around $1 million and is continuing to steal more money from unsuspecting users or victims. Now, the way this Trojan spreads is via drive-by downloads. It targets Adobe Reader, Java, Internet Explorer, and other similar technologies like maybe Firefox and other browsers. But yeah, it's been doing pretty good. Shows how people really don't update their services or software since it's been so successful. But it's been doing pretty good. The way it works is when an infected victim goes to a banking website and goes around to the transaction area, this Trojan injects its own JavaScript into that site and checks to see if what the victim's balance is, and then from there determines how much money to steal. Takes the money and transfers it into mule accounts, pretty much people who have no idea their account is being used to funnel money, and then from there it's transferred into their offshore accounts. Alright, next up we have Understanding the Russian Hacker Underground. Now, this Russian researcher went into Russian forums and Russian underground forums and searched around and found out how this whole Russian underground works. So you guys come across or heard about all this malicious downloads, like the fake antivirus programs or the pop-ups. Oh, you've been infected. Scan now. But yeah, it all originates from Russia or those surrounding countries like Ukraine and similar places. But the way it works is they found that most of these people aren't actually organized professional criminals. Instead, they're mostly students who are looking to earn some extra money. And how it works is they set up these sites that have drive-by download code on them, and then they need to get people to come to that website. And to do that, they hire people to send traffic to their website. And the way it works is people who send traffic, for every person they send to that website that gets infected, they get paid a couple dollars. Pretty much like CPA marketing online, if you haven't heard of that. And then, when someone is infected, this Trojan or this malicious software looks for credit card information or other, you know, information that can get the money. And then most of the time it's usually just credit card information, and what they do with these credit cards is either purchase digital items, which isn't that risky, or if they wish to purchase physical items, they have a couple options. Many times they use a drop shipper, basically someone online who offers to have the item shipped to his house, and then when that item comes to that person's house, that person sells it to the person who purchased it with the fake credit card for half the price. And they have a bunch of websites like the eBay rating system, where they rate drop shippers, and it's a whole feedback system. So basically it's a whole like e-commerce thing going on in the Russian underground. You know, they get competition sometimes, so they DOS their competition, take them offline. It's really interesting. You should give it a read. I'll have the link to the article in the show notes. Alright, next up we have malicious widget hacked millions of websites. So, parked sites hosted by Network Solutions has been spreading malware since May, and it's estimated that they've infected around 5 million infected websites. 5 million sites, can you believe that? Now, parked sites are usually those sites that are just a domain name, and they don't have any content on them. So, you know, sometimes when you misspell a domain name and you you come to like a little site where there's nothing on there except for ads. Well, on this specific host, there was a widget that was by default installed on these park domain names, and it's estimated that people that have been going to these sites have infected around 500,000 to 5 million, more towards the 5 million range, says the person who, the co-founder or whoever it was. All right, next up we have, for all you 16-year-old Justin Bieber fans, Justin Bieber gets revenge on Twitter, 26,000 text messages sent to teen who hacked account. So, supposedly someone hacked his friend's account, and Justin Bieber, or all the way around, but his account, I'm not sure, but Justin Bieber published the number on his Twitter feed, and that person got a crap load of text messages and calls, and pretty much took that person's phone offline, pretty much a DDoS attack, and he got around 26,000 text messages. Imagine having to delete all of those. Next up, we have hackers accidentally give Microsoft their code. So you know when you crash a program and you get one of those little screens that says you've got an error, blah blah blah, report or not, send information or don't. Well, it turns out that a lot of people that develop viruses and malicious code, in the process of developing this code, these viruses, these Trojans, malicious software, their system crashes lots of times. And the funny thing is, a lot of these people click yes to this screen, and all this information is being sent to Microsoft. Pretty funny. All right, so that's it for this week's news. If you want to get more news articles about security and hacking every week, sign up for my newsletter at MrCracker.com. Look on the right-hand side, there's a space for your name and your email address. Fill that in, click submit, and confirm your email address, and you'll receive an email each week about the news for that current week. All right, let's get into the main topic. This week's main topic is gaining access, and this is step part 3 of the hacking process, which I've been discussing the last couple episodes. So if you haven't listened to those, go ahead and do that first before you continue on with this episode. So gaining access, otherwise known as penetrating the system. And how do you do that? Well, in the last two episodes, you found out what's running on the system, how the system is set up, and all this information that you need to be able to know how to target that system and what to target on that system. So now that you know what's running on that system, the kind of services, what software, maybe what operating system is running, you can target those specific systems or software or services. And now that you have all the names, you can search for known vulnerabilities or known exploits for those services. Now, a great website for that is called Milwrm.com, M-I-L-W-0-R-M.com, and that website has a huge database of exploit code for pretty much all the services and software out there. So, once you find out the service, you can Google that software's name and the version number plus vulnerability or exploit code. And once you have exploit code, you have to run it against that server or that computer. And that code could be in Perl, PHP, Python, C, C++. There's a lot of programming languages that are written, that exploits are written in. And you have to know how to run these scripts, and to do that you have to have that certain programming language installed. You have to need a compiler if it's C or C++, maybe it's in Java. So once you know what it is, go ahead and download that programming language to your computer, and you can find them just by Googling the programming language. And then usually those websites have instructions on how to run those types of scripts. It's not very hard, it's very easy. So don't get discouraged. and maybe it's, if it's C, you'll need a compiler. Most of the time, these exploits are written for the Linux operating system. So usually it's a GCC compiler. Usually it's pretty much cross-platform, so it'll work if you run it from a Windows machine. But once you have an exploit, you have to run it against the system. And many times, you put in your details like the servers or the target's IP address and maybe what port that service is running on during runtime. But also, you have to make sure many times it's actually you have to edit the code before you compile it or run it. So usually, sometimes they have instructions in the exploit code, but most of the time they don't, because it's a way to fend off the script kiddies. But there's also other options. There's a bunch of fronts that you could try to attack from, like the web front. If they're running a content management system, you could try using cross-site scripting attacks, RFI, remote file inclusion attacks, LFI, local file inclusion attacks, CSRF attacks, SQL injections. These are all different types of attacks that are very common and popular nowadays. So if you have no idea what these are, don't worry about it. Just note them down, write them down, and go ahead and research every one of them, because these are many of the different types of attack types that you could do to gain access to a system. I'm not going to explain every one of them, because that's pretty much a podcast in itself for each one of these. And you can't really learn them unless you actually go out there and try them yourself. So go out there and research every one of these that I've mentioned, because all these are great ways and very popular methods of attacking a system. Now, there's also other means. You can try sniffing traffic. If you're on the network of that victim, maybe you can try to sniff their traffic and find if maybe they're sending some unencrypted passwords over the network. Maybe they're sending encrypted passwords that you can try to crack over the network and gain access via that way. A more simpler method, you could try social engineering by trying maybe calling up that person and pretending to be someone that has that kind of level on the network, maybe some IT person or some admin over the network that has trouble pulling up some information about you and needs to have it. Maybe you can send social engineering text via email and with a phishing page trying to get that user's password. You could try infecting that person with malware to gain access to their system. There's so many different methods. But if a great way of having easy access to most of these methods and automated access to these methods is by learning Metasploit, the Metasploit framework. And this is probably the most useful tools ever created for the security industry, or just penetration testers, just people in this category, in this industry, or interested in this topic. Metasploit is a really great tool, and I have an episode on it, so go back. I'm not sure what episode it is, but you can find it in the podcast section on my website. And go ahead and take a listen to that podcast and learn Metasploit. It literally makes this process so easy. And the next one as well, which I'll be discussing in the next podcast. Learn the Metasploit framework. And the Metasploit framework there's also a thing called the Social Engineers Toolkit, SET, otherwise known as SET. It's also part of the Metasploit framework. But basically what it is basically a social engineering toolkit, like it's called, and it allows you to create drive-by download pages, phishing pages. It helps you send mass mails to a mass amount of people for phishing attacks, and it helps you out in this process. So yeah, gaining access is pretty much taking what you've learned from the past two steps, reconnaissance and scanning, and taking that information and using it to find exploits or access points that you could try to target to get into the actual system and to gain access. So first it was reconnaissance, then it was scanning, and now it was gaining access. So now that you have access to the system, what do you do next? Well, we'll be discussing that in the next episode of the CrackerCast podcast. This week's hacker website is hackhound.org, and it is a forum full of tons of great content and knowledgeable users. So once again, that is hackhound.org. If you have any suggestions for websites that have to do with security or hacking, please email me at comments@mrcracker.com. So that's it for this week's episode of the CrackerCast podcast. That's episode 22. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to email me at comments@mrcracker.com. If it's a question, I'll try to answer it on the show. If not, I'll definitely respond to your email. If you have any comments, hate mail, or anything else, I'd love to receive it and read it on the show. Otherwise, if you'd like to follow me, you can find me at twitter.com/mrcracker, or on my website you'll find on the right-hand column a link to my Facebook page and my YouTube channel. And that's about it. I'll see you next week, hopefully, or in 2 weeks. And here's a closing comment from my next-door neighbor, Steven.
That was David. This is Steven. Bye-bye.